What's up, you guys? Welcome to Fightful. I'm Sean Ross Sapp. This is March 31st, 2025. Almost April Fool's Day. We don't do April Fool's gimmicks at Fightful. No worries. You're not going to see some Fightful Select post with something off the wall like that. But by God, you fools are here right now. Leave a thumbs up. Tap that bell for notifications. Dropped an interview with Luke Curtis this week. Or today, if you don't know who he is, you're going to know who he is. He's appeared on AEW, TNA, New Japan, and WWE. Grapsody has an interview with Speedball Mike Bailey that'll be up this week. I'm dropping an interview or a video with Jimmy Van talking about the first wrestling action figures in existence, by God. And I'm here to talk with you guys. Our great moderator, Luis, collecting super chats and humper chats. I'll leave this here. Drop a little fruit emoji. Let the world know that you're here. By God, we would greatly appreciate that. WWE Raw, the European tour has now effectively wrapped up. I feel like it peaked early. not to say that some of the stuff on WWE wasn't great tonight. There were a couple things that I really enjoyed, but as far as a crowd perspective, boy, it was tough to beat Brussels, man. Like, you can't really beat them and the way that they brought it. And trying to match that, I mean, that was one of those that, like, very, very early on, it's like, man, that was one of the hottest environments that the company ever experienced. And while I don't think they were bad crowds, so to speak, if these would have been American crowds, we probably would have been happy with them. But I definitely expected maybe a little bit more wild out of London. Now, back-to-back shows, maybe that had something to do with it. The Rock not being there despite these very, very strange rumors that were going around. That I just want to say, Fightful never reported anything remotely resembling The Rock being at WWE Raw or in London for this or anything like that. But outside of saying that he sold out to The Rock, that wasn't really brought up a ton. So we're going to save the John Cena, Cody Rhodes face-to-face towards or for the end. I know that's what everybody's going to be wanting to talk about, and it does sort of live on an island of its own. But leave a thumbs up on this video. It would mean an awful lot if you guys did that. I want to know what you guys want to know about. Our friend Joseph Morris here got us kicked off with our first super chat of the day. You can also send humper chats at humperchats.com. Next week, or actually this Friday, we effectively go back to our same time. I don't know what the hell they were doing on Friday with their time slots. One day it was like 10, one day it was like 6, one day it was 8. I can't control those people on Fridays. They're different. They're out there. But we will be back here 10:30 p.m. Eastern every Monday for the foreseeable future. Had a lot of people ask if I thought that this would result in WWE doing more overseas tours. If they think they can make more money doing it, then they will continue to do it. We'll be talking about that and a lot more, but let's get right into WWE Monday Night Raw, man. New Day defeated a returning New Catch Republic. So I was conflicted on this. I was very happy to see New Catch Republic back. The Raw tag team division badly needs help. Badly needs people like Pete Dunne and Tyler Bate. And it's good to see Tyler Bate back, and they brought him back in their home country. And then they lost. And I mean, you know, not everything that we talk about being a Vince-ism is a bad thing. It's just when Vince McMahon did them, he did them so much that they became exhausting bad things. And we're going to talk about one later tonight, and that is TV championship matches getting unsatisfying finishes or interferences nonstop. He would do the same things over and over again. Rematches ad nauseum. We could make a list of them one day. Feel free to share a Vince-ism in the chat, like a booking trope that he really leaned on. But beating people in their hometown, home country, home area-ish thing is something that Vince really loved to do. And that is certainly certainly something that they did here. And what they do is they do that in order to hopefully get an amount of heat on the offending act, so to speak, that it carries over. But what WWE, especially Vince McMahon, wouldn't do is he wouldn't book that talent subsequently, and it wouldn't carry over. So, like, for example, next week when we're in Minneapolis, they are not going to give a single shit that New Day beat New Catch Republic in the UK because they're from Minneapolis. They don't give a damn. I would much rather re-debut New Catch Republic, have them do some really, really cool, surprising moves and like an impressive win, get a crazy reaction, make them look like stars. And then if you were going to beat them next week in Minneapolis, where the Minneapolis crowd at least heard them get this superstar reaction, might be like, okay, they're worth a damn. Let's cheer them. Then beat them next week. That's what I think works a little bit better. Now, I'm not saying that you can never get heat on somebody in their hometown. I just don't think this was an appropriate fashion in which to do it. Now, New Day challenging for the tag titles, that's a common sense, yeah, situation. But man, I was disappointed because, I mean, what I had kind of hoped already came true. The crowd didn't make a ton of noise during New Day's segment, and then didn't make any noise when the Viking Raiders came out. And that's not the Viking Raiders' fault. It's WWE's fault because they've barely put Viking Raiders on this show since they've won the tag team titles. And initially, the way that I was told was they were supposed to be putting the tag titles on this program a lot more. And it just didn't happen. It just didn't happen. New Day started off really, really hot with this heel run. And then it's been heavily directionless for quite some time. You've got to kind of bring that heat back. You got to kind of bring something back to get the crowd to really, really hate these guys. And more importantly, want to see somebody beat them. And that's what I think they need to do. I mean, honestly, probably the highlight of the tag title run for the Viking Raiders has been Ivar having the greatest match in WWE speed history recently. Like, that was very good. But other than that, it's been a very uninspired booking situation for WWE, and as has been the case with a lot of stuff lately. Jimmy Uso, Jey Uso are backstage. I actually really like this. Jimmy Uso is like, man, I'm good. I can take care of myself. And Jey Uso is just like, yeah, I know you can. We've wrestled together. We've been a team. We've opposed one another, but you need to be careful. And this was a lot of foreshadowing. Now, if you've watched this show, I have specifically in the last 4 or 5 months really picked up on a lot of the tendencies. And I worried about how this story would be booked with so much time between the Royal Rumble and WrestleMania. And unfortunately, what we saw was the same thing every week for like a month, month and a half. Jey Uso and or Gunther would have a match. In this case, Gunther had what was probably Jimmy Uso's best singles match. If not ever, it's up there. And listen, there's not a robust selection of great Jimmy Uso singles matches to pick from. But very good match, told a really good story. Jimmy Uso got some shine. He was very sympathetic. Gunther playing the typical 80s, early 90s European heel worked out really well. Like, he is merciless. He is heartless. And he gets the win. And again, very solid match. But then what always has happened with this particular feud is Gunther or Jey attack afterwards. It's been copy and paste every time, except tonight, where it was copy paste and then they added a little bit more to it. And what the little they added to it was so good that I'm torn between like, well, should they have done this earlier or is this the right timing? It's just that it happened so many times before to prepare for this. Maybe it can be seen as Gunther just elevating it to that next level. And what he did was he zip tied Jey Uso to the ring. And then bloodied Jimmy. I mean, really beat the crap out of Jimmy. Like, left, like, we're probably not going to see Jimmy until WrestleMania. And I had mentioned this on the air last week. I thought that Jimmy should get absolutely destroyed tonight, and I'm glad he did, because I think that Ludwig Kaiser should go to help Gunther at WrestleMania. Jimmy pulls him out, pulls off the thing, and it's the Jimmy reveal, but it's the other direction from when Jimmy cost Jay the championship. And it's Jimmy having that redemption story, and then Jimmy celebrating with Jay. He's happy for his brother. And then, quite frankly, very early on in that title feud, you should probably do Jimmy versus Jay, like in a friendly for the title. Like, Jay should say, the first person I want to give a title shot to is my brother. And you could do that, I don't know, Saturday night's main event or something like that. I think that'd be pretty cool. You know, stuff like that happens. So I think that would be really good. Oh my God, at least we got the slap. That was one of the filthiest slaps in pro wrestling history right there. That was one of the most, like, you know how they go, you go to sports game and they have the decibel meter, which is always a work, by the way. They're never accurate. That thing would have broken the decibel gimmick for sure. It would have made it work as a shoot. Gunther was incredible here. Jimmy Uso sold his ass off in this segment. Jey Uso really brought home the gravity of the situation and how important this was. And even though, you know, he and his brother have been through so much together, especially the last 5 years, they have been a dominant part of this television program. But Jay did a really good job showing his concern. There was a man like DeRice and Riho, who Corey Brennan had reported would be at the WWE tryouts this past weekend on FightfulSelect.com. They were also featured in the segment, but I thought that Gunther just bathing in Jimmy Uso's blood was so good. It was by far the best thing in this story, which, you know, it's what we saw with the other WrestleMania title match as well. By far, the best angle associated with it was on this show. So while I don't necessarily like the redundant nature of the post-match attacks in Jey Uso and the Gunther stories, this was the best one they have done, the best thing they have done. And I thought it was a home run angle. I thought it was phenomenal stuff to really, really anchor down the emotion and importance. And this is Gunther further working to get into Jey Uso's head, but also, if you're Gunther, also, I mean, like, you also know how the Usos roll, and you know how they have acted for years and years and years. You don't want Jimmy to get involved in this match either. Absolutely not. And you know it's a real possibility. So you got to eliminate it. You got to eliminate it. Oh, man. Guys, leave a thumbs up. Get those super chats. Get those humper chats in. We got a big AEW show this weekend. Lots of AEW references on TV, like 5 of them in the last week. But this week, we're going to have some lines for you guys. I'll give you guys a little preview after we hear from our great friends at BetOnline. Hey guys, I'm here to tell you about BetOnline.ag, the official betting partner of Fightful. It's not just an online platform. They've been trusted for over 25 years. They boast a focus on the player approach and have built their reputation on offering their clients nothing but the best. From cutting-edge technology to enticing promotions and the latest sports betting odds. Whether it be wrestling, MMA, boxing, or football, baseball, basketball, or racing, anything you can think of, all major sporting events are covered by BetOnline.ag. Fast payouts, highest credit card acceptance industry-wide, safe and secure online environments, and their live betting feature allows you to bet on your favorites weekly and easily and in real time. BetOnline.ag. That's where we're going at Fightful. That's where we suggest you go as well. That's where we get all of our odds at. BetOnline.ag. Only bet what you can, and please bet responsibly. Somebody's asking if Jimmy got busted open from the title shot. That was the implication, but it was planned. As far as BetOnline and this weekend's show, AEW Dynasty, which I will be bringing you guys a live post show. We're going to have a scoops thread on Fightful Select. I'll also have my lock picks over on FightfulSelect.com. Our lock picks are like 20 for 20 now since we've started this partnership with BetOnline. And yeah, might be able to win yourself some money if you pay attention to those over on our Fightful Select Discord and our scoops thread on Sunday. Very excited for that. Excited for Dynasty. AEW is hitting a hot period right now. WWE's in WrestleMania season as well. It's a good time. It's a good time. Not as much of a good time for Judgment Day, or at least Liv and what's going on there. Judgment Day is backstage, and Finn brings up the fact that Raquel lost her IC title match last week, and Raquel's not that thrilled about it. Fast forward, Judgment Day, Dominic Mysterio and Finn Balor defeated Braun Breaker and Penta, the first pinfall that Penta takes in WWE. Not his first like loss or not win. So I think it's kind of smart.
Hi, I'm Kristen Bell. Carvana makes car buying easy. Isn't that right, hun? Dax?
Sorry, did you know about this 7-day money-back guarantee?
A week to evaluate seat comfiness, you say?
A week of terrain tests? Yeah, I can test the brake pad resistance at variable speeds.
Make sure all the kids' stuff fits nicely.
Make sure our stuff fits nicely.
Oh, the...
Right. Still need to buy the car. Getting ahead of ourselves here.
Buy your car with Carvana today.
Heard how they've done it. Like, he's won all of his singles matches. He didn't win the triple threat? And then he got pinned here, but it's because Braun Breaker, who is an absolute freak, by the way, as if you didn't know, hit him with a spear. And then Finn Balor did the coup de grace. And to me, that's appropriate. Like, those two moves, you get hit with those, that's a wrap. You're good. But Dominic is going from what was the Nepo baby, like, charity case, like, can't hold his own, to where he is, if you watch this show, becoming somebody with, one, a conscience and a little bit of empathy for what we saw, the flashes of empathy with, like, New Day. We're seeing it, like, him helping out Judgment Day and helping out Finn. But he's also becoming a very savvy wrestler, like, from a character perspective. Like, you're starting to see some of those elements where towards the end of this match, he knows that he's got to keep Braun Breaker from getting back in that ring. So he does that, like, cannonball drop kick to the outside and prevents it. Those are things that I don't think the Dominic character would have done. He was pretty much limited to hopping on the ring apron and doing whatever, right? But now we're starting to see that evolve a lot more, and Finn Balor is stoked about it. This is a pretty good little tag team match. Like, nothing that'll knock your socks off, but it's very clearly getting to what ya boys at FightfulSelect.com had reported last week. Fatal 4-Way, Intercontinental title, WrestleMania, Dominic, Finn, Braun, Penta. And Liv, she didn't forget what Finn said earlier. And then Finn came back all jazzed up, and he's like, I'm going to go talk to Adam Pearce about an IC title shot. And then Liv's like, hey, Dom, he's like not giving you the appropriate credit. He's not showing you the love that you should get as a part of this team. And like, I believe that Liv, even though she's stirring up shit, like, she believes it as well. Like, she knows that the guy that she is with did work to improve himself, whether it be standing in the Judgment Day, he was looking at outside options. Like, he cares about Judgment Day. And none of these people are original members of the group. All those people are long gone. Edge, Damian Priest, Rhea Ripley, they're all long gone. But also, a thing about Liv Morgan is she is with Dominic Mysterio well after the quote-unquote use of Dominic Mysterio had kind of worn off. Now, you could argue that Rhea Ripley benefited from having Dominic all the way through her title rings. He would always get involved. But who's to say that Rhea Ripley, the character, couldn't have seduced somebody else to doing her bidding for her, right? Same with Liv Morgan. So it's this thing where people who get around Dominic Mysterio within the context of this show want to stay around Dominic Mysterio. Like, he is a person that keeps people there, which is an interesting little element and wrinkle. Now, later on, Lyra talks about, and by the way, Raquel and Liv talk about, oh, Lyra, Bailey, we've got to handle that. Ugh. And later on, Lyra is backstage and says, well, you know, I got to find out who's better, me or Bailey. It's important to me to figure this out. So next week, me and her, IC title on the line. And let me tell you, this just absolutely screams Raquel and Liv getting involved. And I am so sick of seeing that. Tonight, Bianca, EO, DQ, Lyra, Raquel, interference, Braun, Penta, interference. Even the Rhea, EO, distraction, LA Knight, Braun, no contest. At least some of the tag title matches have been a little bit clean, but this is a trope that WWE has just leaned on so heavily. And they're going to hit a situation, if they continue this, where the audience is going to go, what the hell are we watching this for? What's the point of us watching this if it's always going to end in a DQ, or there's always going to be interference, or there's always going to be something foggy here? You can only tune into the PLEs to get those clean. Can't do that, man. Can't do that. That is a Vince-ism. Vince-ism. To the most extreme degree. We have some super chats and humper chats. Joseph Norris says, it's absolutely disgusting the way Triple H is treated during Mania season. Reward all her hard work with a BS tag match. Well, listen, it's what you make of it, the tag team titles, but also they've got to be booked effectively, and they've not been booked effectively. To reward her with a BS tag match, okay, well, you get hot when you get hot. That's the long and short of that. But WWE, Triple H, have not booked the tag team titles to mean a damn thing. And quite frankly, I think probably what we're headed for is, since we're doing Bayley and Lyra next week, probably headed towards a situation where you got the Intercontinental Champion challenging for the tag titles at WrestleMania. And it's like, why do you have all these if you can't separate them? I would feel much better about, like, anything else. I'm just looking at this and I'm like, okay, Raquel, tag team champion, got an IC title shot. You're probably going to see Lyra, IC champion, getting that title shot. You had the U.S. and IC champions losing in Elimination Chamber qualifiers. And I'm like, why do you all do this? Why can't you put – it's scripted. It is scripted. Why can't you put your champions in a situation where they look like champions, where they look like winners, or they look like they'll do anything that they can to remain winners? It is just, we are in an era right now of WWE booking where at least we have one or two good things. And we also have some very good in-ring performers and great talkers, as opposed to the Vince era where you would have the same matches over and over and do all these tropes, but also the matches wouldn't be good. No booking on the show would be good. It's just frustrating to watch these tendencies kind of come back. And now it's being coupled with the fact that a lot of fans are getting sick of the ticket prices. And like, listen, I know that absolute idiots say things like, oh, my God, they're in AEW's pocket. We ain't never taken money, gifts, anything from a wrestling company. WWE sent me a cheese thing, and I gave it to somebody else. Just posted the note. Like, got no need for stuff like that. Oh, you do it so you can get the free tickets. What, to be in the press box? Let me give you a little secret. Those press boxes are intended for 120-yard football fields when you factor in the end zones, not 20 by 20 rings. They ain't good seats, friends. But like, WWE is hitting a situation where a lot of people are getting fed up with the ticket prices as well. It's starting to hit people. And now they're not booking their contenders, their champions, a lot of this stuff in an effective manner. Lucky Charm says, Liv, Raquel versus Lyra, Bailey at Mania, winner take all tag match. Tag titles, IC titles, all online. But who wins the IC title? Who wins the IC title? And why do you need that? Why? All due respect to you, I'm not trying to go off on you. Why do you need that? Why don't you have a contender for the IC title ready to go? Why doesn't Lyra sit up and say, I'll defend my title against everybody. We'll do the sensational invitational battle royal. I'll beat everybody. I don't give a damn. Something, literally anything. Oh, my God. Will WWE do a tryout in Japan this year? I haven't heard of one. Plans for the U.S. title at Mania 41. You know, it's funny because I feel like the IC title is the one that could have went with Braun Breaker versus Penta, and the U.S. title should have had the multi-man. But they'll probably just do the multi-man as well, and it'll be like Solo, Jacob, Braun, LA Knight. Very WrestleMania 2000 pilled. You think Becky is Raw after Mania blockbuster? If so, does she come after Liv for payback, or do you think it's a different story for her? I mean, at this point, I don't expect her to be on the Mania card. I know that things were pitched for Mania for her. I just don't know whatever happened to that. I will try to find out what I can. I mean, we are two WWE Raw Raws away from that. So at this point, I think that saving her for Raw after Mania is probably the better idea. That's what I think. Maddie Mania, our good friend, says, I'd rather see Liv and Raquel drop the tag titles to the Meta Girls at Stand and Deliver than have Liv win IC Mania Night 2. I think that would probably like telegraph it though, right? Like, and I'm with you. Like, I'm there for them dropping the tag titles. Just what an abysmal booking those tag titles have been. Just abysmal, just really bad. Man. But I mean, listen, also you can't count on somebody wrestling at 9:30 in the morning and then being good. Well, that's night two. It's rough. Some of those wrestlers are going to have to be there at like 3-4 in the morning. Yikes, man. Ugh. It's just, they script the show, man. They script the show. What kept them from doing like any, first off, why don't you have Bayley on this show? Why don't you have Bayley on this show tonight? She's always super over in London. Always. Get her on the damn show. But what keeps you from having on SmackDown or Raw, Rio, the girl who Corey Brennan has interviewed a number of times, was at the tryouts, show up there, get a good, nice baby-faced reaction, and she loses to like Ivy Nile or something. You can say Ivy Nile's working her way back up. None of that is done there anymore. And they don't reference main event. Maddie, thank you for your super chat. It's one of those things where Liv clearly should be put in something more important, and I don't know why she's not. But even what she's involved with, that could be more important. They just don't do it. Chef T Gaming says tickets for SmackDown this Friday were crazy. Tickets started at $950, but it's come down to $600 on Ticketmaster at that. Yeah. Man. And I mean, right now they're getting their money while they can. That's why they're selling WrestleMania years and years ahead while they're hot, because they know it has the peaks and valleys. They are fully aware of that. So they're getting those deals in while they have them. But also, as Kate's saying in the chat, like, what the hell are we doing? How is this not a government-affected thing with the fees associated with Ticketmaster? You mean to tell me, hypothetically, if you bought a $2,000 ticket, they need to charge you, like, what, hundreds of dollars as a processing fee? That's bullshit. That's bullshit. It's very cool that Wale Mania is on Netflix this year. I love Wally. Wonderful guy. Very happy for what he's accomplished. I'll miss that this year, not being in Vegas. But yeah. Karrion Kross. So, FightfulSelect.com. The best $5.99 in the business for a while. Reported this morning that Karrion Kross is in his contract year, which means his contract is up this year at some point. We're going to work to find out more. I mean, listen, he had an AEW offer, but he had an offer to appear there. between his time in WWE, his two runs, MLW brought him in and liked him, and New Japan liked him. Something to keep your eye on. But FightfulSelect.com, give us a little subscribe, guys. We've got podcasts, exclusive news, Discord. Oh, it's lit during the pay-per-view weekends, too. It's a good time. Whatever happened to Roxanne in the last few weeks, I'll toss out a theory. And this is a theory. It's not a report. It's a theory. I think that they had planned on Roxanne and Bayley, and then whatever plans they had for Lyra, Liv, Raquel, etc., didn't happen. And I don't know if those involved Asuka or Kairi or Becky or anybody. I don't know. But I think those probably got adjusted or didn't happen, and they just moved some stuff around. Moved some stuff around. That's what I think happened. If I were to throw one out there. JDE Priest says, Saraya is going to be in Las Vegas for a book tour signing. Could she make a surprise appearance at Wrestling or WWE World? So, yeah, boys, at FightfulSelect.com. Had a lot of details on that last week. She's departed AEW. She's still listed on their roster page, which is usually a really good indication that somebody's still there. Her management team claimed to me that she has fulfilled her obligations with AEW. They departed amicably, and she is a free agent. So if you listen to them, then she would be eligible to. But like, she's doing a podcast, she's doing a book. I will say this, the way that she planned the buzz for this book and podcast was very smart. And I say that as somebody who covers these rollouts for a living. Saraya like really dominated and forced the news cycle for a number of days. So what she did was she did some interviews. She launched her podcast, but she and her team leaked to Entertainment Weekly that she was finished with AEW. Before that she finished with AEW, she had some very good quotes saying, you know, I'm probably not going to be back in AEW. I know that it's not a good fit. Maybe I'd be open to WWE, et cetera. It was very smart and also very mature. And listen, dropping some of the baggage that she's dropped recently, probably a mature thing to do as well. But then she launched the podcast, got the book rolling, has a media tour. A very smart rollout from her team, I thought. I thought they did that very, very well. But yeah, I think it's possible that she could do that as well. What else do we got here? Oh my God. Logan Paul, AJ Styles. This was not it for me, fellas. This was not it for me. Anybody else like this? Because I didn't. It was Logan Paul being like, LOL, you're poor. It feels like he changes his gimmick and approach like every single week. It's like he's got a list of things that he thinks he should nail. And I don't want to say he. It's like there's one week it's, I'm humble. Listen, your boy did that gimmick like 6 years ago. Go back and look at the Melissa SRS promos. I recited the lyrics to Kendrick Lamar's song, For the Love of God. Already did it. Do something else. You ain't doing it better than me. So then he's like, oh, well, you're all poor. And I'm like, well, if they could afford these tickets, they probably aren't. And then he did bring up a fair point. He goes, well, you know, if you spent money on these tickets, you probably are poor now. All right, hold on, listen. I'll save this super chat till afterwards. But this was real bad. Our friend Luke. I looked at the Logan Paul thing and I was like, oh my God. And they use these weird little phrases. And one of them was, you know, don't take advice from someone you wouldn't trade places with. And then AJ goes, don't write a check that your ass can't cash. Like, we get it. Yeah, we know. We know. You want to talk about something that's frustrating to me? just how woefully underserved AJ Styles has been for WrestleMania. How sad is it that probably the best WrestleMania match that AJ Styles has ever had was against Shane McMahon? Now, there were some that were thrown out there that had the potential of being good. He got booked against Jericho, against Nakamura. But that Nakamura feud stunk. Randy Orton, decent name. LA Knight, mega over. The Undertaker, the Boneyard match was the best. But like in-ring match, I should say that. Boneyard match was the best. Edge wasn't for me. What else? New Day with Omos. So much of his best work came outside of the auspices of WrestleMania. Shout out to Adam Pearson. Incredible actor, Adam Pearson. Less good at quiz shows. While this is one of AJ's last manias, unless he's re-signed with the company. I asked somebody who you would think would know about AJ's contract status, because I haven't heard of late. And they go, I think we lost him to the machine. It's like, oh my God, okay. All right. I'm not going to fault somebody for making their money, right? Like, I can't do that. The pulverizer looked good. It was good. I mean, it's Guitar Suzuki's mass driver. This feud was not good. Chad Gable isn't cleared. El Grande Americano, which Chad Gable says he would love to get in the ring with. And if you're Adam Pearce and you're really doubting him, well, then why don't you say, all right, then, bet. Let's go. Next week, you versus El Grande Americano as soon as you're cleared. But Gable's got his doctor's note. But like, why wouldn't Adam Pearce just do, oh, your wish is my command. Don't ask for another favor for a while. You got this match set up. Why not? What were you holding back from? I don't know, man. But he'll be, El Grande Americano will be in action. Luis, who I feel like knows a little bit more about Spanish than I, as he runs the new Fightful Espanol Twitter, says, this is not grammatically correct. It's supposed to be Gran Americano. Do you all think they should start calling Tessa Blanchard El Hija del Tully Blanchard after her last appearance on pay-per-view with, you know. I think that'd be funnier than El Grande Americano. Let's do it. El Hija del Tully Blanchard. That's what we're here for. This wasn't good. This wasn't good. Somebody had mentioned, what kind of AEW references were there this week? Oh, Punk saying he still works with children. Ricky Saints and Sean Spears. Where Sean Spears goes, oh, you can go back to, and then says, oh, we know you've burned every bridge. That was just referencing the existence of it. Punk walking by Drew McIntyre being put through glass. Cody saying he got booed in AEW, and then Cena saying that Cody takes money from billionaires. But there's a super chat I wanted to I'm glad you all could appreciate that. But this super chat, listen, Ben, I appreciate you sending it, but I couldn't disagree more. Bruh, Penta got pinned by a total jabroni who has only won two singles matches since 2023. Finn is the new Ziggler at this point, damaged beyond repair. Maybe he'll never get back to the main event level. Maybe. Maybe not. But like, what are we supposed to believe? That right now Penta is being groomed for a top spot? He's not. He's absolutely not. He's being groomed for this spot or the tag division. And the guy that speared him is being groomed for a very top spot. And then the guy, after that fella hit his finish, did his finish that won him the Universal Championship back in the day. Now you can say one, two singles matches since 2023. I don't disagree with that at all. This shouldn't like get him an Intercontinental title shot. But Finn has been largely in the tag team division. I think this is incredibly dramatic. He got hit with a spear and a coup de grace back to back. That should be enough to pin somebody. That is two finishers back to back. And Penta has won all of his other matches except for the triple threat. Triple threat, yeah. Also backstage, Maxine approaches Adam Pearce, says that she's got some plans or hopes for the tag team division with Natalya. I do hope that they get a little bit of a run, and I think that Natalya being the new coach of Alpha Academy would actually be good. And then I want her to turn on Alpha Academy. And then I want her and Chad Gable to say that they have repaired U.S.-Canada relations for the first time since 1997. They are bonding over the fact that Alpha Academy sucks. That's what I believe in. Let's talk about the main event before we talk about the opening segment. Get in those super chats. Get in those humper chats. Those are light today, man. We're giving the UK people the opportunity to send those GBPs. Nicholas says, what's the internal reactions based off Triple H of what he picks the main event? He says it's what earned the best spot, but it's clear what he favors for the spot. Yes, it's absolutely what he favors for the spot. For sure is. Now, you could say Roman Reigns, CM Punk, Seth Rollins. That is as high on the marquee as you're probably going to get. That's like very, very heavily, you know, the casuals are going to love that match. If you've got your friends over watching WrestleMania, they will be into that match. And they are going to have probably an absolute car crash match. No DQ, keep in mind, because it's a triple threat. Probably so. And then night two, I would imagine, yeah, night one's probably going to be Roman, Punk, and Rollins, and then night two, they will have Io, Rhea, Bianca on that show. That way you don't have two triple threats. I think they'll probably try to split that up, you know. One hardcore match one night, one the next night. Triple threat one night, triple threat the next. You see what I mean? Gunther and Jay, night one. Cody and Cena, night two. I think that's probably the direction it goes. But, I mean, there are a lot of people that are like, well, of course, that's what they're doing. But I don't get a ton of reactions. Like, there's a very handful of people that concern themselves with being the WrestleMania main event because they know it's not a reality that year. Bianca Belair made her referee gear for tonight's Women's World Title match, and it was great. That is such a, first off, wonderful way to save hundreds of thousands of dollars over your career if you're willing to do that work, as she is. But she's always so good at it. She does it like at her hotel. She does it like she's not going out and sightseeing, I guess. She's making her gear. Good for her. It looked incredible, as it always does. But like when she got announced as a special ref, I was like, oh my God, that's one of the things I was excited about. Like, how's her gear going to be? Io and Rhea killed it in this match. And then they killed me at the end of the match, going for the double DQ because both people cracked Bianca Belair, with one, Rhea, being intentional, Io being accidental, and then Bianca had enough of it. Now, in a vacuum, like on its own, I would have been like, you know, finish makes sense. Got to get there in order to get where you're going for WrestleMania. But considering the nature of how many WWE televised championship matches have ended like this, or with interference, or with a no contest, or with, I was just like, ugh, I see it. And it just, I think that the idea behind this feud was a good one. And I think that having Rhea that concerned with Bianca ringside in her title match, and then having Bianca, who is used to getting hit for a living, that concerned about, like, getting hit, I'm just like, man, that doesn't play off that well. Like, what are we doing here? I feel like they made some of the people involved look, one, not smart in looking elsewhere during their match, and two, I don't want to say petty, because of course you're going to be petty in this situation. But I'm just like, ugh, again? The match was fantastic. I'll tell you my favorite thing about this match. Go back and watch this and how good Io Sky is. There was a roll through, and then Rhea like did the push up on her left arm and bam, kicked her in the head. And Io went limp, but stood there, but went limp in a way that she bent over, and it was very easy for Rhea to get the riptide on. That, like, when your opponent does that in the ring, they make it so easy for you. They feed right to where they need to be. They just, that way, when Rhea's doing the riptide, you don't have somebody throwing their own arm back there. And they killed it. They just incredible chemistry here. I just know they are going to have an insane match at WrestleMania. And at this point, I think Drew and McIntyre got to have a hardcore match too, right? Like, we're going into car windows and stuff. You gotta. Man. Get your super chats in. Get your humper chats in. Nicholas says, or actually KE775 says, the Bianca EO stuff has been way too convoluted. Should have been this complicated to get the triple threat. Yeah, a couple of double finishes would have got you there. But instead, you made Rhea look dumb. You made EO look like an afterthought, which I think that actually works in this story, her looking like an afterthought. Because everybody was thinking Rhea and Bianca. That was their plan for a while. And then Bianca's like, oh no, I got hit. DQ. You can stand it. Beat him up afterwards. But I do also like that Bianca's like, no, I'll be petty. I'll screw you both over. No big deal. TBD on me for that one. TBD. Well, I'll tell you what's not TBD. How well NordVPN works. There are so many reasons to check out NordVPN.com/Fightful. Let's go through a ton of them. Works on all operating systems and devices, even your router. Protect yourself on public Wi-Fi. Shield your data from snoops and criminals. Add extra layers of digital security to your life with the Password Manager, the File Encryption Tool, the Threat Protection Pro. It's the fastest VPN in the world. They've got a global server network, 24/7 tech support. And if you're a wrestling fan, oh man, are you in for it? All of the programs that WWE runs, you can watch with one Netflix account with NordVPN.com/Fightful. You can get pay-per-views at a much more affordable price. This service pays for itself in the money that you are going to save. NordVPN.com/Fightful. Logan Paul versus AJ Styles is official at WrestleMania. I think this does stand a very good chance at being the best in-ring match that that AJ Styles has had at WrestleMania. I really do. Really do. Oh, boy. Get the super chats in. Get the humper chats in. It's main event time, even though it was the opening segment of the show. John Cena, Cody Rhodes. Whew. Cody goes the B-Rabbit 8-mile method. He's like, oh, you're going to talk about my dumb neck tattoo. You're going to talk about the fact that I got booed in a company that I helped start. My dad was a wrestler, yada, yada. And Cena was like, well, kind of. He goes, you know, a lot of people say that I bury talent, but I don't. I bury mediocrity. I am talent. Now, I don't know if I needed that part. I felt like this kind of started slow on his end. I want to hear from you guys. When he says bury talent, do you take that as like inside baseball stuff? Or is that within the context of the show? Because to me, I look at it as very inside baseball. And at this point, I'm like, shut up about that already. We get it. There's enough on-screen stuff to go at. Like, I don't need to hear him say face, heel, bury, all that stuff. I do not need to see all that. There is so much meat on the bone from John Cena because he has been as good as he has been for so long. And when I look at that, I'm like, you go straight to the neck tattoo gimmick. And even him saying your wrestling gimmick, I was like, But what he says was, it's not where your tattoo is placed. It's the fact that you are so into yourself that you got your wrestling gimmick tattooed on your neck, which means you're just like them, a common fan. Do you think that he should get the Dusty Rhodes? He's just a common fan. That gimmick. Do we need that? That's what we need. That's the theme by Downstate right there. So I didn't like that segment of the promo. I would go as far as to say, just, I was like, oh man, this is going to suck. Boy, was I wrong. Holy shitting balls. This got really good. First off, Cody says that Cena has small peen. In fact, he said there's more dick in that promo than in your pants. And I'm just like, okay, how you know? How do you know that? How'd you find that out? We heard about y'all riding together. What aren't you telling us? What should I be writing headlines about at this stage? How did you come across that information, Cody Rhodes? I'm pretty good at finding out information. I ain't heard that before. Meanwhile, everybody's been asking about Batista's for 20 years. 20 years. And got no answers on that. Y'all feuded forever. Okay, but how you know? So, also, I didn't like that Cena basically was like, you guys have shit for brains. It's like, all right, whatever. But, boy, did this light up. This got hot. Cena was like, yeah, Cody, you were chosen. And I made it easy for you to be chosen. And then what I loved was he tied in his promo from last week into this. I loved what Cena said last week, that he was going to take that title, win it, and then retire with it. And then effectively, it would be a toy. And he was like, I have worked too hard to make that championship be important for you to just make it not important, because you're my chauffeur and that's as good as you'll ever be. And you're just okay. But you were picked for this spot, and I don't think you should be picked for this spot. And then Cody lights his ass up. Cody says, yeah, I was chosen by the fans. You were chosen by one guy in an office that we don't even talk about anymore. Meaning Vince McMahon. We have heard and seen a couple of Vince McMahon references. I think for the sake of taste, first off, and the things that he is involved in, you shouldn't, by and large. I thought this was probably the best way to do that. I think he even said that we can't talk about anymore. Would have added, because don't and can't, because that's the reality. They can't. Cena says, I build empires for billionaires. You just steal money from their kids. I saw somebody try to say, oh, well, he clearly meant Stephanie. Get out of here. Get out of here. And I don't think it was a shot at Tony Khan. I think it was a shot at Cody Rhodes. I think it was more of a shot at you weren't worth the money that Tony Khan paid you. And I love that after all this stuff, Cena, you got a little dick. Cena, I know everything you're going to say. Cena, you were picked by this guy who's being sued for sexual misconduct. The thing that got Cena was Cody was like, yeah, well, at least they ain't ever told me I couldn't wrestle. That's what sent him back. That's what got Cena to just charge back. And then he got hit with the crossroads, which last week my big thing was, why hasn't Cody Rhodes whooped his ass yet? What's kept him from whooping his ass after all that happened at Elimination Chamber? Why hasn't he whooped John Cena's ass? And he did. And he did. This was the promo that this angle needed. You got two more Raws before WrestleMania. I got no goddamn clue if we're going to see The Rock, who allegedly masterminded this great storyline way back at Bad Blood, came out, like put John Cena's social security number and Morse code out there as he was leaving. That's at least what like hardcore WWE fans want you to believe happened. Couldn't be that this came together along the way and there wasn't a consistent plan involving The Rock, but I would love to see him on the show. I want to see this guy on the show. He's interesting. Had some people say, man, you're cynical about The Rock. I just want to see him on the show. He's fun to watch. He's fun to talk about. Come back. I'm bitter because he's not on the show. I'm not cynical because he's on the show. Get his ass back there. Dan says, here's five Irish Euro. The European crowd's been mostly anti-Cena, but he was cheered loudly tonight. You think Cena could get a Hogan reaction at Mania? No, I think they'll be along for the ride on that one. Dan, I see what you mean. I was concerned about that in the initial elements of Cena's heel turn. But it's clear the audience wants to be there for the ride. Like, you're going to get this opportunity to boo John Cena. That's what you're going to get. And then towards the end of his run, and then probably every time he comes back and does an appearance, you're going to cheer him. Although it would be kind of funny if he just made his cameos as a heel. Also, I love that when Cena got cheered, after he said all that mean shit about Cody, he goes, there's your reason, buddy. That was good stuff. KE775 says, both SmackDown Raw, Women's Division need a shakeup post-Mania. NXT call-ups returns. They both feel stale, and it's on Triple H. Yep. If I were them, I would call up immediately. Let's see. I'll just look at the NXT roster. From a women's perspective, I would be calling up as soon as you can, Jordynne Grace, first off, get her on the main roster. She doesn't need to be in NXT. Bring Shotzi back up and probably put her in a tag team. I would have JC Jane called up. I mentioned that before. I think Wendy Chu as like would be actually very good on the main roster. I think she could be like the Santino of the main roster. I think that'd be really good. Roxanne full on needs to be up there as well. Like four or five people you need to bring up. Rick Young says, only WWE Espanol broken that Phoenix is debuting on SmackDown. Rick, they mentioned that on Friday's show, but also Yebez at FightfulSelect.com also reported that as well. I want to thank you all so much for joining me, especially at this time throughout the last 3 weeks. I wanted to give, as Joseph Morris, who is clearly in the UK, sends a super chat, the same opportunities that our American audiences get. And it comes at the compromise of some viewership and stuff. But listen, a lot of my career has been built on like the UK reach and like the stuff that my audience you know, appreciates is me trying to make it a little bit convenient. Sorry, I got a very unusual message during that. Very unusual. Anyway, yeah, Maxwell Jacob Friedman says, I truly don't get why fans get up in arms when WWE mentions or references AEW or when AEW references WWE. If you want to be treated like children, watch Elmo. Or better yet, tell Vince McMahon to start a new promotion. And then somebody on our social team posted Elmo doing a rock bottom to RJ City. I feel like Triple H is intentionally sabotaging Liv. I also feel like Liv is a better overall performer than Rhea. Joseph, my friend. Listen, the better overall performer thing, that is a subjective thing. Like, I'm not going to sit there and say, oh, she is or she isn't. Like, if you feel that way, you feel that way. That's fine. She was booked to beat Becky Lynch for the title. Then was one of the most important characters on Raw for months. With the title. Then very quickly after losing the title, became tag champ. Huh? Joseph, come on. Well, listen, I felt this way back in the day when Shelton wasn't getting booked. I just saw Zoe Stark's. There are so many people getting worked by Zoe Stark right now. By the way, he is not intentionally sabotaging Liv. Liv has been pretty well booked. But I understand why you believe she should get more. And as far as Mania goes, she should have something creatively satisfying. I am completely with you, Joseph Morris. I do believe that. Zoe has worked a lot of people into thinking that she really, really, really hates like women's wrestlers in skimpy stuff. And she posted a picture of Rhea and then put, or Bianca, and put like a big censored sign over it and says, this is not how an official should dress. It's very funny. It's very good. It's very good. She is working so many people on that. Like, I believe Zoe probably doesn't give a shit. Zoe is so fun to do media with. So fun. Oh my God, guys, thank you all so much. I want to thank our moderator, Luis, for being flexible with this schedule. We're here every night, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And guess what? Next week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. So quite literally, for the next 2 weeks straight, Fightful is here every night with post shows, as we got a super chat in here. I feel like this might be an 8-10 match per show Mania night. What do you think? Seems like every title is getting on the show plus 9 matches. I think 7-8. I think 7-8 is probably the direction they're going to go. I don't want them to do 10 matches a night. I would like 7 and then a pre-show battle royal. That's what I would like. That's what I think would be good. by the way, thank you very much for this generous super chat. It means an awful lot to me. Let's take a look at what they did last year. They did 7 matches. Night 1. 7 matches, which included a 45-minute main event. The next night, we'll call it 6.5. They did 6.5 matches night 2. And I call the half Damian Priest cashing in on Drew McIntyre. So they kind of, that's what they did there. The first year, under Triple H, which Vince was still involved there, you had 2 nights and you did 8 matches, which included Pat McAfee versus The Miz, right? You got 7 matches the next night, including Snoop Dogg versus The Miz. So, like, it's, we've seen it with the Vince McMahon influence and without it. And it's been pretty consistent since then. And if you even go back to the Vince era, 7 matches night 1, 9 matches night 2, and that includes Mr. McMahon, Pat McAfee, and then Sheamus and Ridge Holland defeating New Day in 1:40. Before that, like, was this the 37 was in 2021 when they had the half-ass crowd and the rain delay and all that stuff. 7 matches. I think they have really found their sweet spot, and they've found where it is that they think that they're gonna do that. Like, I think that they're gonna, yeah. Yeah, what on earth is this comment? What's going on? What happened here? We are streaming live on Facebook. Facebook.com/FightfulOnline. By the way, follow us on TikTok. We're about to sign a deal with TikTok to do a lot more there. Fightful.com. Joe, I don't like you in that way. But thank you for calling me beautiful. I know we're still live on YouTube, Luis. I'm aware. I see the super chat. I'm just... Dan says, have you a rough idea what will be WrestleMania day one? Yeah. My prediction for WrestleMania day one is... the triple threat, Roman, Punk, Rollins. I think Tiffany and Charlotte. I think Jay Gunther. The reason I believe that is Cody Cena is night two, so you probably want the other world title match night one. If you do the triple threat, Rollins, Punk, Reigns main eventing night one, you want to put the other triple threat, the women's title match, on night two, which means Tiffany, Charlotte, probably night one. Any surprises you want to see on Mania? Orton said he and KO is night one. There we go. Any surprises you want to see on Mania? Yeah, I would like to see Becky come back, honestly. I'd love to see Becky come back as a mystery partner or something like that. Like, I want to see Becky come back. Oh, well, I hope you guys enjoy. I hope you have fun. J Money says, looks like we get Cena win at Mania. Do you think we get Cena versus Randy Orton at Backlash since it's in St. Louis? I do think so. I think that would make an awful lot of sense. It would draw an awful lot of fans in. And then after that, I would turn Orton heel as well. Absolutely turn Orton heel as well. But I think that that's a great main event for St. Louis. And Cena's got to start working more, too. How do you feel about, but I love that idea, JT Money. How do you feel about them inducting matches into the Hall of Fame? Gives a big refresh to the Hall of Fame, in my view. So I love this. I absolutely love it because, one, it will get some people additional inductions, so to speak, and some appearances. And also, the UFC has done this for years. And I thought it was one of the most brilliant things that the UFC ever did. And because Stefan Bonner, I love him. He's not getting into the Hall of Fame otherwise. Pete Williams isn't getting into the Hall of Fame. Frank Trigg might not get into the Hall of Fame, but Matt Hughes versus Frank Trigg will. Forrest Griffin versus Stefan Bonner will. For sure. I love Clay Guida versus Diego Sanchez. That got into the Hall of Fame. Should have as well. Love it. I love them doing this. I think it's a great idea. It's a way to, first off, extend and give more juice to your Hall of Fame inductions too. Cause you're sort of running out of headliners, right? Not really, despite what anybody says. Cause Batista hasn't been in, The Rock hasn't been in. You still got them. Jericho one day is a main eventer in there. You still got plenty of them. And then by the time they retire, there's going to be a lot more. Guys, thank you all so much. I appreciate you guys. We hung around a little bit longer than I was going to. And I just want to say thank you guys. We are back here every single night, guys, for the next 2 weeks. Tuesday, NXT. Wednesday, Dynamite. Thursday, TNA. Friday, SmackDown. Saturday, Collision. Sunday, Dynasty. Monday, Raw. And then we do it all over again. Thank you all so much. We're out.